And I want to share with you what I believe the Lord has given me for this congregation. And this is not for just the new Christians that are in Christ. It is for those. It's not for the unsaved that need to come to Christ. It is for those. This is for the Christians that have walked with Jesus for years, for decades, that know him, that have walked with him, that have enjoyed the fellowship. This is a word for you and I this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm just going to read verse 19. Moses writes, I call heaven, he writes this on behalf of the Lord, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, so that both thou and thy seed may live. And let me just reiterate, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, because of that, choose life, so that you and your babies can live. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for your ways that are higher than our ways. We thank you, Lord, that you oversee your church. You oversee all of our individual lives. And today we would ask you, Lord, to take this word, press it into our hearts, unfold it, reveal it within us, that we might see that you would have us see. And God, I pray that you would give me the words to speak that would fully encapsulate that you've given me to express. Father, we thank you for the offering today. We thank you for all of your people that support this ministry. I ask you that you'd bless their lives, that you'd open the very windows of heaven and pour out upon them. Father, in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen and amen. This scripture was written at a time that Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The original Israelites that had come out of Egypt, their carcasses waxed white under the sun. They were dead and gone because of unbelief. This was the next generation. They were standing right at the borders of the promised land, about to step into the promised land, and Moses stopped to remind them of this important fact that the Lord has set before them life and death, blessings and cursings. And he admonished them, choose life. Choose life so that you can live and so that your children can live. It is a type, as we look at Israel at the border of the promised land, it is the church at the borders of the rapture about to go into the promise of God through the century, to leave this planet and enter into the everlasting. And he would remind us this morning, he set before us life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. We serve a God that has given us free moral agency. It means that you have a will. Regardless of what the Calvinists preach, you have a personal will. God wants you to express it within the confines of his sovereign will. Therefore, he sets before you a choice. He sets before you, you get life or you get death. You choose. And it takes a degree of discernment. You don't choose life by default. You have to make a decision and you have to put forth spiritual energy to lay hold of life. It's not the default. And it's not the default because when God created Adam and Eve in the garden, I mean, God set Adam up. If you ever stop to think about how he set this man up, he first created Adam and then he created Eve. He put them in paradise. It was a paradise. There was no rain because water came up a mist in the morning to water the ground. There was no tornadoes, hurricanes, no thunderstorms, nothing. It was paradise. He put Adam in the garden. He put beside him the single most beautiful woman on the planet, which was Eve. He said, now take care of the garden, but understand the curse had not yet fallen, so it wasn't the toil of the sweat of his brow. The garden really took care of itself. He looked around every manner of fruit that you could want in all of the beautiful canopy of colors all around him. Everywhere he looked, food was literally just growing from the trees. Food was just coming up out of the earth. And he said, here's the job that I have for you and your wife. Go make a bunch of babies. That's what I need you to do. That's all I need you to do is go make babies. That, you have to admit, that's not bad, right? Come on. he set Adam up. And he said, but Adam, one thing before I go, I have set before you life and death. Now, over there somewhere, there's a tree of life over there. But this tree right here is the tree of death. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm telling you ahead of time, choose life, because in the day that you eat of this fruit, in that day you shall surely die. Now get this. They never even looked at the tree of life. They never even considered it. Not before the fall, not after the fall. They never looked at the tree of life, which is a type, a prefigurement of Christ. Now you have to admit, Adam and Eve, those were God's people. You have to admit that, because they was the only people. And God was meeting with them every day. And they never considered the tree of life. I think that many times you and I never consider that our life, it does not consist in the abundance of the things that we possess. Our life is in Christ. Now you have to understand what life is. When the Bible speaks of life, especially in the New Testament, you have to understand he's not talking about existing. He's not talking about just breathing and having animation. That's not his definition of life. Now, we've had the money grubber ministries over the past several decades. They've tried to redefine what life is, and they, or abundant life. They say abundant life is abundance of cars, abundance of rooms in your house, abundance of jewelry, abundance of suits, abundance of widgets and gadgets and gadgets. That's how they defined it, but that's as wrong as two left shoes. Now, if you've got cars or you got a big house, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying that that's not life. And it's also not spiritual success. God bless you. If you're blessed in the natural, I'm not mad at you. God bless you. But don't let that be a substitute for what Jesus really wants to give you. Remember, God sets before each and every one of us life and death. That's the way of God. That's the way he is. He sets before each one of us both life and death. And if we make wrong choices in terms of our priority, you are going to accrue to yourself spiritual death. And that is why the church is so dead right now. It's because many of us here are not enjoying the abundance of life that Jesus has for us. Oh, yes, we're living. I mean, we're living, we're surviving, we're existing, we still breathe. Our body still has animation, but the cocaine baron has that. The human trafficker has that. Come on, the child molesterer has that. So certainly what Jesus has for us is more than just that. Are you with me today? Here's what Jesus said. John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, we already had life before we came to Christ. We already was alive. So he's not talking about that. He's talking about something else. And this is where we in the church have missed it so very badly. All of us to some degree have missed this. That he has a vibrance of life that he wants to bring to us. Where the life that we live, it has a greater vitality than just what the people in the world knows. It's more life in the living. Are you with me today? It's where everything is turned up to brighter. But let's go back to what he said. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now think about that. What's he come with? A bottle of fentanyl? Is it a bottle of vodka? How's he do it? Listen to this and be wise. He came with a luscious fruit that God had made himself. That's what he came to kill Eve with. A luscious fruit, beautiful color, tasty, delightful. It does not have to look evil to be a method, an agent of death in your life. Now, I'm saying that to say this. Your cell phone is not your friend. Your social media is not your friend. It's killing you. Your TV set is killing you. You sit there like a zombie. You just soak it in, and it gives you no spiritual life. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Eve wanted that fruit. He presented it in a way that she wanted it. Just like many of us, we want our television program. We want our social feed. We want the very thing that's sapping the spiritual life from us. I set before you life and death. Choose life. He said life and death, blessings and curses. It amazes me that, well, let me say this. I came in this morning. And whenever I come to church, I always come. I'm already ready to worship. And so usually I don't even wait for the worship service. I go in the back and I get my four-year-old granddaughter. And while they're doing sound check here, where they're going through some of the difficulties of the songs, this morning we came in and we were standing over here and I said, you see that door over there? I race you. Boom. And we're both gone. We race to the door. Then we race back to the other side of the room. If you want to have that vitality in your life, hang out with some of these young people. Because have you ever noticed a four-year-old? They're full of life. They're full of life. You know why? Not because they're young. Because they haven't made all the bad decisions you and I have made. Amen. It's going to be a little hard. Some of us, what you eat is killing you. You're eating chemicals. Go start eating some fruit and vegetables again. Now, I don't mean the frozen kind. I mean, go get the real one. And eat some fruit and vegetables and stop eating this hyper-processed food. It's killing you. You're eating chemicals, and it's sapping the very life from you. That you can tell whenever you're not fat. You're only fat right here, but you're not fat nowhere else. That's that processed food. Amen, get up. We got Brother Hill's not here right now, but Brother Hill, I believe he's 83 years old. He walks 4 to 5 miles every day. Some of us are 35, can't walk 1 mile. And it's because our decision making, we don't choose life. We don't choose to live. We choose what our body wants. And if you give your body what your body wants, it will kill itself and cause you to leave this planet earlier than God intended you to leave. And just because you get skinny does not mean you're living the way God wants you to live. Ozempic don't count. No, that don't count. See, that's just another way. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. Get your heart beating. Get your lungs working. But your heart and your lungs, that's your life. That's your vitality right there. I'm getting off my message a little bit, but I'm trying to help you. I want you to understand this whole world system is set up to kill you if you don't make a choice for life. The thief cometh not. It's the only reason he comes around you. Is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And when you look around, I've done this for, I've watched people of my age group, I've watched them grow old, and they're stuck to the recliner. They're stuck there. They're stuck in front of the TV. It's almost like they don't live in reality anymore. They live in the TV reality. And I've always made it a point, I'm going to choose life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Now, that's different than the life that you already had, or else you don't need him to come to give it to you. Are you with me? So he's talking about something different, and I need you to catch a glimpse of this today. He said that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundance means buku. It means adequate supply. It means a whole lot of. He come to give you a whole lot of life within the life that you're already living. It's not just mere existing. He wants you to have more. Now, I'm going to have to get a little theological to try to explain this today. Theologians, as they describe God, one of the descriptions is that God is total act. Total act. And what that means is that all of his attributes are expressed at all times to the infinite degree. I'm gonna let that soak in. So if you were to take just his attribute of love, it is always, it doesn't go up and down, it is always expressed infinitely and perpetually. It never wavers. And not only his love, his wrath, his long-suffering, his joy, all attributes, they are infinitely expressed at all times. He's totally alive. Now, do you think he wants his children down here and we just barely can make it? No. Jesus said, I came to give you life. And I come to give it to you more abundantly. If you stop looking at the world around you as they grow old prematurely, as they are afflicted with all different types of issues prematurely, and start looking at him. Looking at him, Moses, 100 years old, his eyes were not dim, his natural force was not abated. He was still strong in his old age. God kept men up to 965 years old, and they were still alive. And he can do the same thing now if we would seek life, choose life. We'll never be total act like God is, but we certainly can be more alive than we are. See, and too many times we see ourselves as being spiritual giants, when that's not the reality. You are as vibrant in your spiritual life as your praise. You are no more alive than your praise. Your praise is dead, it's because you dead. I just got to be honest with you. Someone said, well, we don't want to get into emotionalism, brother. Well, David wasn't being emotional when he danced before the ark when he came back in Jerusalem. That was spiritual. When Jesus said, Moses rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad, Abraham was not being emotional. There was spiritual vitality being expressed through him. There was vibrancy to his life. I don't know if I'm getting through today. This happened to me about 40 years ago when I came to the Lord. I experienced... And I'm not trying to be deep or mystical or anything this morning. I'm not trying to lift myself up. I'm trying to relate an experience that I had. I tasted of that life, and it's otherworldly. It's available now. I tasted it. The day that he saved me, I felt joy. Not happy, not glad. I felt real spiritual joy. It's tangible. And when it comes upon you, it is intoxicating. It takes over. The vibrance of the joy is just such that you cannot really contain it. And I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, honest to God, what happened to me. When that event happened, I felt it was getting stronger and stronger. I was in my apartment, my face pressed into the cushion as I was just thanking God for coming into my life. And this thing was, it was just in waves. It was getting stronger and stronger. I could feel it. And I just said, God, I can't take anymore. And it just began to slowly dissipate. But for 3 to 4 weeks later, I had frozen on my face a smile. My whole face was lit. And I would go home from work in the evenings and I would have to massage my cheeks because the muscles were sore from smiling. I'm not making this up. I'm saying there's an abundance of life that God has available for his people that we don't even consider it. Just like Adam did not consider the tree of life, we don't consider. Jesus said, I come to give you life and I come to give it to you more abundantly. If he's total at, And the Bible says in him is life. And that life was the light of men. It means that in the life that he gave us, it is the illumination that we need to walk back in fellowship with him. But we walk around just, ooh, what's wrong, brother? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? Oh, he's good. And the reason is that we love God. Our choices are wrong. Our choices are wrong. You know why I write commentaries? Because it keeps me in the Word. You thought I was writing them for you? I'm writing them for me. Because it makes me keep digging down in the Word. I just keep digging for more and more of it. Saints, I don't want to sound like I'm scolding you, or I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be deep. But God, you don't have to go the way that you see the world going. You can be the you could be the outlier. At 67, I have no problem. I have no problem. I'm pushing up on 70. And I said in my heart at 75, I'm still going to be able to do this with no problem. Now, that's just one aspect, but you know why? I don't look at what my dad did. I don't look at what my mama did. I'm looking at what Jesus did. Hallelujah. I said, I'm looking at what Jesus did. And he said, I come to give you life and come to give it to you more abundantly. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, you don't get eternal life after you die. If you did, it's not eternal. It was interrupted by death. Well, if he gave me eternal life and I have it right now, well, why am I not enjoying it right now? Here's something else we make a mistake. And I just tell you what I did. You do what you do. And I'm not telling anybody to stop taking your medicine. Whatever the doctor gave you, take it. They gave me some stuff. They said, you got low thyroid production. You're going to have to take this pill once a day for the rest of your life. I said, wow. I don't feel bad. He said, no, you're bad, though. You're bad. So I went and got the pills. And I took them for a while, and I didn't feel no different. So I started looking them up, and I realized that this particular chemical that was in this pill, it also causes Alzheimer's. It's associated with Alzheimer's. I said, well, I'd rather die of thyroid issues than to die of Alzheimer's. So I took the pills. It's been, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. I just threw them in trash. I'm not doing it no more. And you know what? I am just simply believing God. And I don't feel no different between taking them and not. There's no difference at all. Somebody said, well, what if you die? Well, what do you mean, what if? I am going to die. So are you. I'm not worried about if I die. I'm worried about how am I living? Because every time they give you a pill, it got 25 side effects. You know, yep, it's going to make you feel good, but you're going to walk like this. I'd rather just walk normal, and when the time comes, the time comes. Come on, you got to believe Jesus somewhere in your life. You got to believe Jesus. Obviously, when he said, I come to give you life more abundantly, he came to give us something over and above what we already had. And God sets before us you don't make a decision once for Jesus. You make a decision every day. He set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he said, choose life. It's no different than Israel when at the crucifixion, just prior the crucifixion of Christ, Pilate brought Jesus out. He had Jesus on one side. He had Barabbas on the other side. And he asked Israel, whether of the twain will I deliver to you? They didn't even consider Jesus. They said, man, we'll take Barabbas. Well, he's a thief and a robber. I know, but we'll take him. It's something about the human condition. Their life is, you've seen the man healing the sick, the lame, the broken, the bruised, the battered. He'd been doing that for 3.5 years, and they went this way. And here we have Jesus in John 10:10 saying, I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly, but we can't get off of our phones long enough to even hear what he said. And God knows Instagram ain't giving you no life. Ain't nothing on there but lies. People put on their best makeup, their best clothes, and find the best lighting and the best pose to try to make it seem like that's their life. When in reality, here their life is right here. They just barely making it. Saints, come to Jesus. Make that choice that I'm going to reduce my TV time. I'm going to reduce. Matter of fact, I'm going to take Instagram. I'm going to take my social feed off my phone. And I'm going to detox on the digital hype that I have. I'm going to just get this out of my life. It's killing you, saints. It's killing you. Because you're so involved in that, you have no time. Just eat a little bit of the tree of life. Just eat. And this is always God's way. It's always going to be God's way. In the golden age to come, when the new Jerusalem has come down to this earth and the river of life flows from the threshold of God, on either side of the river of life, there will be the tree of life on either side. And they give every time, every month, they give a new fruit. It's always going to be God's way that if you want life, you have to partake of life. And for this dispensation, here's life right here. This book has life in it. I don't understand all how God does it, but I know that when I read this, it changes me. It changes my mind. It changes my heart. And the deeper I get into this, the less the call of the world has impact on me. But when you begin to back away from this, you hear Satan with all of his subtlety come in. You know, another thing about these social media platforms, all of them take you down the rabbit hole. Their algorithm is set up. You can start as innocent as you want to, and over time, that algorithm takes you straight into perversion. Y'all got social media just like I do. Don't act like you, when you see that, you're supposed to jump out of that rabbit hole. You can't live in there. You have to choose life. You have to make a decision. Our young people are being destroyed by this digital toxicity. Being destroyed. I look at it sometimes and I see the mindset of young men and young women that should be looking for each other to begin a life. It's almost like they hate each other. It's almost like, you know, they're fighting over, well, who's going to pay the bills? Is it going to be 50-50, 70-30? What's it going to be? I saw one the other day and the woman said, she asked a young man, she said, so you and your wife go 50-50 on the bills? He goes, yeah, of course we do. He goes, well, I would never do that. He said, well, how does you and your husband do it? Oh, well, I'm not married. That's right. Me and my wife don't go 50-50. We go 100-100. We got one big pot. I throw everything that I am. I don't mean my money. I throw my whole life into that pot. She throws her whole life into the pot. And then we take care of each other out of that pot. Jesus wants you to have life, but he wants you to choose life. Not like Israel of old, not like Israel at the time of the crucifixion who chose Barabbas rather than Jesus. And Peter came back to him several weeks later. He said, listen, when you deny the Holy One and the just, you desire the murderer to be released in your life. Hear me today. When you deny the tree of life, when you deny Jesus Christ and the abundant life that he offers you, you are desiring the thief to come in to steal and kill and destroy. And it leaves you in a sense of bitterness and disillusionment. And too often we say, well, it didn't work for me. No, baby, you didn't work it. You got to actually do this. God don't play games. Listen, God don't play games. He's for real. And he can put into you a life that's so much more simple, but yet so much more abundant. I got my grandbabies. Every week after church, my son and my daughter come over. They bring the babies over. We just have a big dinner together, and we just enjoy one another. And I have to tell you, it's such a vitality. It's so much life in it. My granddaughter and I will go out to my garden and we'll look at the watermelons. And I had radishes, and we'll go out, me and her together. I'll show her how to put a hand, and she'll harvest the radishes. It's simple, but it's life. And it produces in you a sense of well-being. You're never going to get it from the club. You're never going to get it from the reefer or for the booze. You're not going to get it from your social platform, because that is not God's way. If you want life, you got to find God's way. He says, seek for the old path, and when you find it, walk it, and you will find rest for your soul. Saints, I hope I was clear. It's very difficult to talk about what abundant life is, because so few of us know anything about it. But there is a vitality and a vibrance of life that each of us has to be pursuing, and that life is in Christ. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you today. I would ask you, Father, take these words that I attempted to speak into the hearts of your people. Lord, let there be a curiosity as to what I'm talking about. Let them begin to pursue you. Lord, not follow a church, not follow a man, but let them begin to pursue you and the life that you've offered, this abundance of life that comes from above. This is the record. The God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Come on, all over the room. If you're able, would you stand to your feet this morning, if you're able? As the song they sang earlier today, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can stop God. He can do whatever he wants to do. No matter what your situation, no matter what your physical situation, stop looking at yourself and look at him. He's healed 1,000 problems of various sorts. The one you have, he's dealt with it many times in the past. And just begin to reach out to the Lord right now. Father, I need you. This abundance of life that you came to give to your people, Father, I ask you for this life. Help me to choose this life. Lay the convicting power of your Holy Spirit upon my heart, that when that decision comes, that you bring this message back to my mind, that I might be provoked to choose life. Lord, that I might stop choosing the things of death, that I might stop going the way of the thief that kills, steals, and destroys, and then I might pursue life. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. God, help me. Lord, help me this morning. You have not because you ask not. You got to reach out and you got to ask God for it. Say, Lord, I don't have it, but I want it. And I'm asking you to help me to find it. Come on, just reach out to the Lord right now, won't you? Just reach out.
Lord, we need you this morning. We thank you for the word that you brought forth through Pastor Lincoln. We have a choice this morning, Lord. We want to choose life. I don't believe any of us would be here, even watching online, God, if we didn't have a desire in our heart to choose life. But like so many, we get distracted and we're caught off guard, and the enemy pulls us, tries to pull us into him because he has an agenda. Lord, but we want to do your will for our life, and we need your help to do that, God. Through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, help us to choose life. Help us to choose you, God. Help us to choose your word. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you are our mediator between God and us and man. So, Lord, help us to choose you each and every day, Father, so that we can receive all the blessings and none of the curses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank all of you for joining us this morning, both here in the building and online. I just thank God for his word. I thank God for the choice that he's given us. And I pray that all of you choose life this morning. Amen. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, please do so. And thanks once again for all of those who did contribute to the campaign for the TV commercial. It is currently showing on several of the stations on Spectrum. If you haven't seen it, hopefully you will soon. Between now and the next service, I just wish blessings upon you and your family, and just continue to choose life in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.